This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Our series of interviews with cultural heroes and one-of-a-kinds continues with Charles Dutton. He's a graduate of Yale Drama School, but you could say his real alma mater is the Maryland State Penitentiary, where he spent 7.5 years. He was sent to prison in 1968 for manslaughter. He discovered his gift for acting while he was behind bars. He's since received Tony nominations for his performances in August Wilson's plays The Piano Lesson and Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. He developed a national following as the star of the sitcom Rock, about a working-class African-American family. More recently, he was featured on the HBO prison series Oz. His new film is called Random Hearts. Our interview was recorded in 1992, while he was starring in Rock. Dutton's character, Rock, was a garbage collector. His wife was a nurse. Rock's cranky father and unemployed brother lived in Rock's house.
Quality engineer. Foreman.
Am I dreaming, or are you actually reading the one ads?
Yep.
You're reading the one ads?
No, you're dreaming. Working a crossword puzzle. I need an 8-letter word for quality engineer.
Employed.
Looking at those want ads is a waste of time. All the jobs are there for white people.
What, Pop? You know,
that's right. Here. Look at this one. Hotel seeks hands-on person with professional appearance and effective communication skills to handle customer relations.
Yeah, so it's an ad for a hotel manager.
If you're white, it is. If you're black, it's for a doorman.
Doesn't sound like a good career move, right?
I know you want the series to really ring true. I have to mention here that the writer, Stan Daniels, is white, and I wonder if you ever feel that there are things that don't ring true that you want to change because the writer is a white person writing about a black family.
Sure. No, I understand that. It's, Stan Daniels is white, and Stan doesn't write all the scripts. We have... 3 black writers out of 7. We have a black full-time director. We have 4 black actors, and as far as I'm concerned, nothing goes past me without some kind of sanctioning, whether it's a script or a storyline or whatever. Now, the problem with that is, of course, you're going to have white writers who don't know one iota about a black family life. And sometimes I think that can be a fault of white television writers, you know, who may be writing for a series that's set in the East Coast, which they know nothing about, but yet they won't even venture into South Central Los Angeles in broad daylight just to drive by it or drive through it just to see and experience what it may look like. So in that regard, I think it is the fault of many writers. However, on this show, it was clear from the very beginning that our staff of writers did not know anything about the pulse of a black family, and that they were going to need all the help they could get, and that they would appreciate it for myself and the cast and the other writers and the director would help them along the way, assist them in putting things together.
You've had, as you know, a very extraordinary life. You spent several years in prison and went to reform school as a kid. And you once described it as... a great place for an inner-city kid to get to play in the country or something along those lines.
Yeah.
What did you find to like about reform school?
Well, growing up in the, inner city of Baltimore, you didn't get out as a kid. You didn't get out to sort of enjoy the outdoors, I grew up in a housing project. Occasionally you may go to summer camp if your folks could afford it, or if it was a free summer camp, once 1 week or 2 weeks in the summer, but when you went to reform school, you were in a rural area in the country where there were animals, livestock, and organized sports and 3 meals a day and 2 movies a week, and so to me it was fun. To me, going to reform school was fun. Me and my buddies would actually organize our juvenile activities so that we went to court in early April or May just to spend 3 or 4 months in reform school.
It was like your version of summer camp.
It was a version of summer camp. It really was. And all your friends were there, you know. But what you don't realize as 11, 12, 13-year-old kid, that you're actually being conditioned at an early age to become a ward of the state. So that by the time you leave reform school, you're ready for the next level.
Prison.
You know, well, say if 13 or 14, there's always one more reform school stop, and that's 15 to 16-year reform school. But that's the middle one, and it gets tougher each time. But then you're ready for the next level because it's like the floodgates open, and your friends go to the next level, and then you go to the next level. And after that, you know, you're ready for the big leagues, and that is prison, you know.
Would you explain the story of how you got to prison?
Well, I went to reform school many times as a kid for numerous things. Started at 12 years old for truancy and juvenile delinquency and being ungovernable and incorrigible, all those nice little words they use to describe one's behavior. When I was 17, I killed a guy in a fight. He nearly killed me, and I wrestled the knife from him, and I killed him. See, I lived and he died. That was a long, long time ago, nearly 23, 24 years ago. I did 2 years for manslaughter, and I was released, and then I went right back to prison a couple months later for possession of deadly weapons. I was convicted and sentenced to 3 years in prison. And while doing the 3 years in prison, I got into a fight with a correctional officer in the prison and was sentenced to an additional 8 years sentence. So they structured the sentencing, whereas I had to do the 3 year sentence first and then start on the 8 year sentence. During that time, after I went back to prison the second time, I was what I consider a total knucklehead. You know, I was anti-authority. I had no respect for authority. I was a radical militant. You know, I really believed that there was going to be an armed overthrow of the United States government, and I was willing to die for that. You know, I was in the Black Panther Party. I was in one of the toughest prisons in the country at that time.
This is in Maryland?
In Maryland, Maryland State Penitentiary. It ranked in the top five of the toughest prisons in the country at that time. I never considered myself a vicious person. I never considered myself a person who did anything premeditatedly. The incident of the manslaughter charge was a situation. I was 17 years old, and it was just at a party, and a fight broke out, and me and this guy had a nice fight going on, and he pulled a knife and stabbed me several times. I wrestled it away from him and stabbed him.
What was your identity in prison before you became known as the actor and the one who organized the theater group? Who were you before?
Well, I was a troublemaker. Yeah, yeah, I was on the prison administration's hit list. I was beat up, brutalized by the guards, prison guards, more than once in those 7.5 years that I spent. I had my ribs broken, my nose broke, an ankle cracked, 2 fingers broke. I had my head bust 6-7 different times in prison. I had my teeth knocked out. I had my eye lacerated with 22 stitches across my eyebrow.
This is all by guards?
Over the course of time. All by prison guards, yeah. I got in a lot of fights in prison, too, with inmates. But once I became politically conscious, the inmate against inmate fighting stopped for me, at least. When I was in my street stage, mentally, I got in fights with other inmates. But when I started to read in prison, and I admittedly I was reading strictly leftist literature, Mao Zedong, Marx and Engels, Lenin. It was through the reading of politics and societies and capitalism and socialism and what makes the world tick, you know, in economically, you know, that I began to understand what my condition was and what these people around me conditions were. And so inadvertently, I began to discover my own humanity by being a radical.
Let me ask you how you got from reading mostly leftist literature to reading plays and getting interested in performing.
Well, in 1972, a girlfriend sent me an anthology of black playwrights. At the time, I had no intention. I thought this decadent, capitalistic cultural exercise, I want nothing to do with it. And the book sat on my shelf in my prison for 4 or 5 months. And finally, I got in a little trouble in prison with a guard, and I was sentenced to six days in isolation, which is a little room with no light, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You were allowed one book to take. And I just reached back and grabbed the book, and I happened to pick that one up, and I read the book from cover to cover by the light that seeped under the door of the room. And it was a light shining in the hallway, and I just would lay down on my stomach at the door, and from the crack of the door, light, and turn the pages of the book and got a little light to read from. And I was struck by one play that was so hilarious, a satire, a political satire called Day of Absence by Douglas Turner Ward. After reading this play, I had determined that when I got out of isolation, I was going to get the funniest characters in the prison that I knew and get these guys together and form a drama group. And we would put this particular play on at the prison talent show. And I got out of isolation on the sixth day, and I showed this play to a couple of guys. A couple of guys couldn't read, so I told them what the play was about. And the prison talent show came along, and it was a school teacher in the prison who was a local actress, a lady by the name of Diane Weaver. And so Miss Weaver, Mrs. Weaver, she supervised the group, and we started this drama group, and it changed my life.
Did that change your attitude about prison? Did you start really wanting to get out when you realized that there was something you really wanted to do?
Oh, it sure did. It sure did. And from that point on, I had stopped trying to find out how much time I could do and started trying to find out how much time I didn't have to do. And so I went, I quit school in the seventh grade as a kid. So from that point, I went back and I went to the prison school and got my high school equivalency degree. Then I enrolled in the prison college program and got my 2-year college degree while in prison, an associate's arts degree.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever worried about ending up back in prison, or do you think that that's just out of the question?
Well, I mean, I don't plan to do anything to get me back there. There is nothing that anyone can tell me about prison anymore. I have a PhD in prison life, you know. So there's no reason for me to go back. I still have lots of friends who are in prison. They'll be my friends for as long as I'm on this planet. Guys on the street corners in Baltimore, you know, guys who are still using drugs, selling drugs, shooting drugs, and those people will always be my friends, you know. I'm hoping and praying that the ones who are involved in the negative things will eventually retire from it and see their lives in a different light and say, okay, I've had enough. You know, but if they don't, I can't be the one to judge.
I want to thank you so much for talking with us. Thank
well,
you
I'd like
very
to thank
much.
You, Terry.
Charles Dutton, recorded in 1992. He's featured in the new film, Random Hearts. This is Fresh Air.